Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome to ABQ Connect, presented by Bosky Home Services. Carlos and his team provide heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. Call 444-7200, Bosky Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you, Carlos, for all your support. We have a new guest, a new person I've just met today, Carla Sontag. She is the founder and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition. Hi, Carla.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're smiling because you're faced with stresses, as we've already visited prior to the show starting. There's so much going on in the legislature. You've got, what, 10, 12 days left in the legislative session? It's going to end Saturday the 20th at noon, is my understanding.
Yes.
And you're having to keep up with all the hundreds, if not thousands, of bills that are out there that affect New Mexico businesses. And so, hey, I'm going to start with, Carla, tell us about the New Mexico Business Coalition and your work.
Well, we are a nonpartisan grassroots operation. We started 12 years ago. I'm a native New Mexican, and I believe we can do better. And so we are focusing on doing that, making a difference in the state.
Are we have a ranking somewhere near the bottom of a good list when it comes to business friendliness in our state?
Oh, yeah. That's the sad thing about our state. I love it here, but we're at the bottom of all the good lists and the top of the bad lists, and we've got to change that. We've got to flip those numbers.
Well, and this has nothing to do with us talking about business today, but I have to throw it in because I'm an old Lobo basketball player. So they're doing a search right now for a Lobo basketball coach for the men's. Now, the women's are the champions, man. They're the Mountain West Conference regular season champions. We're so excited about that. They're going to start the Mountain West tournament. The men are still competing, but we're looking for a coach. And I always ask the question, the University of Arizona had a coach a number of years ago named Lute Olson. They won a national championship. They actually won a national championship with a local young man on the team from La Cueva High School. And I don't understand why they can win a national championship in Tucson, but we can't do it in Albuquerque. I have expectations that are way larger than most New Mexicans, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you aim high, you're going to land someplace a lot higher than where you started. So,
yeah. So, Carla, let's talk on the positive side. 12 days left in the New Mexico legislative session. Let's first talk about the heroes or the good things coming out of the legislature so far.
Well, I've got to say some of the best things coming out is stopping the bad stuff. I really hate to say it, but we're very defensive this year. We can't push a lot of good stuff. There is some good stuff happening, and we're glad to see that. There is a bill moving forward that will correct what happened when they put the governor's powers in place for pandemics. Very important legislation when they first did it after 9/11, but there was an unintended consequence, and that is to allow the governor to renew it every 30 days without the legislature being involved. And so we're looking for just that balance. The checks and balances that we need to have so the legislature has a say in, do we need to continue this or do we not?
Yeah. Carla, and this is off script, but I've just have to ask it. It seems to me that our representative government is designed with people, employing people that are representing different groups, so they have differing opinions. And it seems like both at the national level and at the state level, the conversations that these representatives are having should be happening in front of us.
Oh, boy.
And it doesn't seem like that's happening. It seems like there's a bunch of he said, she said, but you don't ever get to see what the conversations really were. What if we just return to a fundamental of, all right, I'm going to meet with Carla. She's the Democrat from this district, and I'm Jim, from a Republican from this district, and we're going to have a discussion today at 1 o'clock, which we're doing now, about various issues, and it's available by audio, which this is, on abqconnect.online after the fact, or it might be available on YouTube or whatever. But we're going to have the conversation in front of everybody.
Right.
Is that rocket science?
It's really not. Now, I will tell you, you can tune in and you can watch these committees. What we're handicapped in doing this time, they still have chain link fence around the Capitol. You cannot, if you're a member of the public, you cannot get in there. And if you want to speak to them in committee, you can try. The Senate has made it almost impossible. The House is a little bit more giving in that regard. But still, they'll take a bill and they'll say, we're going to take 10 minutes of comment. Well, this bill could be something that is going to destroy business, and you can't have enough people speak in 10 minutes to get your point across.
Yeah. Talk to us about SB 1 and SB 3, both Senate bills that have passed. I guess they're now going to go to the House before they go to the governor's office?
Yes. Yes. Actually, I think they are well on their way to the governor's office. Senate Bill 1 is gross receipts deduction for restaurants. Mm-hmm. And we support that. But as it went through the system, we continued to testify, we support this, but what about everybody else? What about every other business that has been harmed by this shutdown? Yes, businesses were hurt, and they do need some concessions, and they need help, and we don't question that. Mm. But why not include everybody in this decision?
And, you know, I mentioned, I think before the show started, we have a gentleman named Buck Buckner, Rain Tunnel Car Spas, who's been on the show. He's on the show last week. He's a businessman, and his car wash was shut down. Now, none of us can figure out to this moment what in the world, why a car wash would be shut down because of social distancing, because you can get your car washed without ever getting out of your car.
Right.
And, you know, exposing anybody to anything. We've talked with Mr. Hayes, the owner of Cliff's Amusement Park. He is just desperate to get open. He told us back in December that if he wasn't open by the end of March, and he was praying for good weather and everything, that he really thought it was going to be more and more difficult with every passing week to stay in business. And how much would we all miss Cliff's Amusement Park? I can tell you that Calvary Church is geared up to have every kind of event we can at Cliff's Amusement Park as soon as we're allowed to.
Yeah.
Because that's just that important.
It is. It's great to support local business. It's sad, and it really doesn't make a lot of sense on some of the closures. And that's part of the reason why we would like the legislature to have a say in that, to balance that decision-making process so it's not isolated. That is the reason government is designed the way that it is, to balance those decisions, and we don't have that right now.
And Carla, that bill that you're mentioning, and I don't have the number of it right in front of me.
That is House Joint Resolution HJR 6, and okay. It's termination of emergency declarations.
And that is actually a bipartisan bill. You have some Democrats that are saying, yeah, we'd like to not have the governor making all these decisions.
Right. And what people need to remember, if this passes, it's still, this is one that goes to the people. So it would be the next vote. So it's going to be delayed. It's not going to impact the current decision process, but it is something that needs to be corrected in statute. The governor said she would veto any legislation that came to her that checks her power. This one does not go to her. It goes to the people, and they vote on it.
So I'm just going to make a comment about that. Again, I have not openly criticized the governor's policies. What I've criticized is the process. Again, it's not happening in front of us. There doesn't seem to be any transparency. We keep being quoted these, quote, science, and I don't see any science or any proof that that science exists. For example, I mentioned Cliff's Amusement Park. There are amusement parks open all over this country.
Yes.
Since May or June of last year. And none of them have been, you know, big transmitters of COVID-19.
No, and neither are restaurants. So why do we focus on closing down restaurants? Why do we have dance studios if you're teaching soul dance, ballerinas and such? Why? Why do we shut them down? Why are school sports not allowed to operate? This is highly detrimental to kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the poor kids that are in their senior year and they're missing all these opportunities and they can't ever go back and redo it.
Well, the funny thing was I was kind of involved in that debate. I was having a lot of discussions about getting sports, getting kids back on the field. And now every school district in the state is now allowed back on the field. But for an example, the PED, Public Education Department of New Mexico, somehow came up with a mandate that virtual learning wasn't really school. you had to be in at least in a hybrid model in order for you to participate in interscholastic activities and athletics. I just ask a simple question. Who decided that?
Right.
Which one of the members of the PED decided that? Or did they as a group, and why couldn't somebody make a statement as to what their logic was? Well, there was no logic. Now, fortunately, the interim superintendent of the Albuquerque Public Schools, Scott Elder, he seemed to have done a pretty good job going and making a case that, look, we're not going to have the, you know, typical hybrid model. We're going to do the small group thing and some other things. You need to let us have interscholastic activities. And then Sally Marcus and her team over at the New Mexico Activities Association did a fabulous job. They had to schedule football for X number of teams and just inject them. So Sally and her team did a great job. By the way, I do want to mention something. Today's National Women's Day.
Oh.
Women in this country are really important. Congratulations to you for all the work that you do and the leadership you don't just provide as a woman, but as a person representing our state and our interests. So I really think that's a kind of a neat thing, and I wanted to say that.
Well, thank you. I don't focus on women things, you know, but I appreciate your kind words. I mean, it's a tough job that we're doing, but we're making some headway and making some progress. You asked about Senate Bill 3, mm-hmm. and I have a bit of a different take on that. That is one that it's supposed to be like an economic recovery tool. Mm-hmm. It really provides millions of dollars in loans for businesses. We're not opposed to it, but we're not big fans for it, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Because what business wants the debt mm-hmm. when they can't operate? And that bill was actually passed in the June special session, $400 million. Only $40 million was loaned out. And so they came back and they said, well, we need to make it easier. And I said, businesses don't want debt right now. They want to operate. They want to make a living. They don't want to take on more debt. Well, so they increased it to $500 million and they've repackaged it to put it out. We still have the same issue. People want to get back to work.
And not only do they want to get back to work, but the paperwork and the bureaucracy that we have in this country is just unbelievable. I told somebody the other day, I remember, and maybe you're not old enough to remember this, but you remember when Ross Perot was running for vice president?
Yes.
Or maybe he was running for president. It was the preliminary or the primary. Well, Ross Perot was one of the first computer guys. And I was convinced that I wouldn't have Ross Perot as president, but I would have said, Ross, why don't you come up with a way so that we can get rid of this taxation, the IRS, and we can have this automated so that people are being taxed and they actually pay their taxes. Right now, there's billions and billions of unpaid taxes in this country.
Right.
That those of us who do pay our taxes are footing that bill. I think that could be so easily corrected with technology. And that's true on the state level. That's true on the federal level. What are we doing?
Yeah, good point. And you know what? I'll tell you, one of the good bills that we've seen, House Bill 278, I believe it is, Jason Harper, Representative Harper, has done a great job. This is it's really focused at manufacturing and a few others, but it's trying to address that ongoing issue that we have with tax pyramiding. And so we really applaud his efforts on that, and we are definitely in support of that.
Well, I'm going to ask you right off the bat, remind us who is manufacturing, because some of us might not perceive some of the businesses as manufacturing, because like mining falls under that category, right?
It does. And so what manufacturing was considered essential, so they were allowed to continue operating. So we have people that are creating machines. We have people that are manufacturing boxes and parts. We've had manufacturers that have pivoted and gone into what was the current need of the day. We've seen this nationwide where they're doing the personal protective equipment and things like that. But manufacturing has continued. Oil and gas has continued, and we're thankful for that. What we're sad about is seeing the push in the legislature to stop oil and gas. It's 35 to 40% of our budget. My question to those legislators that want to stop that, then what?
Yes.
How are you going to fill that hole?
I'm fascinated with the reasoning behind that. I read national articles about fracking and how fracking does this and that. And I got to tell you, in my opinion, there is no scientific data that shows that fracking is dangerous to the landscape.
No, it's not. And, you know, they're not using highly toxic chemicals. The majority of it is water and sand and something that forms a lubricant. It does not go near our water table. It's underground, and all it does is make their drilling more effective, so they get more out of the same hole. And in when you look at it that way, you're actually helping to save the environment.
I need to let you know about, I have a friend, he's passed away, his name is Jim Johnson. He was in the oil and gas business here. He took his company public. They were a New Mexico company, was just a tremendous businessman. And he shared with me one time that the rules of drilling, he said, when we drill a well for oil, many, many times, the majority of the time, pristine, absolutely perfect water is coming up in that well. And if they could bottle it or provide it to people, even if it was a charitable kind of cause, it would just do amazing things for our country because this water was perfect. You know what the rule said he had to do?
What?
He had to pump that water back into the ground, into these so-called brine pools where the water would get ruined because it'd be immediately, you know, so many minerals in it, you couldn't even drink it. And I always thought, who is the person? Who is the committee? Who decides all these things? Because it so many times doesn't make, you know, any sense at all. And now we see rolling blackouts across Texas, and they've gone away from cold fire generation, and they're using a lot of wind and all this. And I'm not against any of that.
Right.
But obviously when the system gets overloaded, this has happened in California.
Yes.
You know, who are the people that make these decisions, and they never have to give an account when there's a problem?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And then you look at the environmental impact, too, of that clean energy. It's not what people think.
Yeah.
And we could do a whole nother show on that. But, that is something that if we're going to be fair about a situation, we've got to look at all sides.
Yeah. We are with Carla Sontag. She is the founder and president of the New Mexico Business Coalition. We're going to have her for another 45 minutes. She was kind enough to give us a big chunk of her afternoon. We'll be right back on ABQ Connect. Stay with us.
I'm Rob Sneed, general manager at Power Ford. Have you ever wondered why people dread buying a new car? Maybe it's because of the way they were treated in the past. Maybe they were disrespected, or maybe they were even lied to. Well, none of us can change the past, but at Power Ford, we can help you write the future. We're a different type of dealership, so you have a different type of experience. We believe in doing the right thing, building trust, and leading with our values. Faith, family, and then Ford. We're here to help. Just ask. Find your ride at mypowerford.com.
At Krecker Law, we believe in making things right when things go wrong. If you are injured, you shouldn't have to go it alone. You deserve someone who will listen to you and fight for you. We believe that you deserve to protect your future, protect your family, and protect your loved ones. We believe in challenging insurance companies and standing up to bullies. We believe that David can beat Goliath. 843-7777.
The Krecker Law Firm. Righting wrongs, protecting your future. The Krecker Law Firm.com. The CRECCA lawfirm.com.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Since 1970, Albuquerque Christian Children's Home has been providing a loving environment for children who are homeless, hurting, or at risk through no fault of their own. We accept these children without regard to their race, religion, culture, or social status, and care for them without any cost to a family member or the state. Our goal is always to show them the love of God through the care and dedication of the staff. For more information, go to our website, acch4kids.org, or call 898-5520.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Be sure and call Indigo Mortgage for a quote when you are shopping for your next mortgage loan. The team at Indigo Mortgage will explain how you can reduce your fees while getting the best interest rate possible. Call 836-5700 or reach Indigo Mortgage on the web at indigomortgage.net. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. Steve Ryman brings us back right in time to talk with Carla Sontag. Carla, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And I told you this goes really fast.
Oh, it does.
Because there's so much to talk about. So, Carla, we've got right now, we've got a budget that the governor is, I don't know if she's got it on her desk yet.
Yes, she does.
She does. So the budget's been approved and it's on her desk. But now you have, over the weekend, it was announced that the $1.9 trillion stimulus package has also been approved, at least by the Senate. I don't know that the president signed off on it. How does all this affect New Mexicans?
Well, if we start with the budget first, and I should clarify, I can't say that it is officially on her desk, but we're there. They've already approved it. And what that means is that bills that have money in it, if it's not in the budget, they're getting trashed or tabled, you know, they're getting put to the side. As far as the budget goes, we're looking at a 4.6% increase in the budget. Now, recall that just last year, because of the pandemic, they were called into special session to trim back the budget because they were overspending. The budget has been increased significantly in this administration to the point that our economy cannot support the budget they're passing, even with this modest increase. Because here's the problem. We had state officials give reports to some of the legislative committees. We have, that we know of, lost 2,000 businesses and 60,000 jobs because of the pandemic primarily and other causes. Okay, so then to the point now, Senator Munoz is the chair of Senate Finance, and they are the budget gurus that make the final determination. And what he said on the Senate floor just the other day, without federal dollars, the state would instead be filling an $800 million hole. So that's the reality of where the state is. We're $800 million in the hole. The only reason that we're able to balance this right now is the federal money coming in, which was your second point. What about that federal stimulus? So we look at the federal stimulus, and New Mexico is getting a huge chunk of that money. It's good because we need it right now, but it is not bringing to that fruition of fiscal responsibility. So our legislators now are spending money that is one-time money that we're never going to have again, and they're setting a budget that is dependent on that. And so what Senator Munoz's point was, in 3 years, when you get to that budget that doesn't have this federal stimulus money, we're going to be hurt.
And Carla, there, we've had some unusual things happening. As soon as the election's over, oil goes from about $38 a barrel up to about $54, $55 a barrel. New Mexico, it has to be at $40 a barrel in order for us to produce oil and gas profitably.
Right.
So on the world market, that's where those numbers need to be. We generate a lot of revenue that goes into a permanent fund that is supposed to be used for education, but somehow the party in power right now thinks it's just a little fund that they can operate things on when they have shortfalls anytime they want. And that's not really how it's designed.
It's not, and it's really a sad day. But they will be passing legislation this time. I see no way that they're going to stop it to increase the amount of money they're taking out of the land grant permanent fund. That is sad because now what they're trying to do is fund not just early childhood. No, they want to go to birth. And I'm like, what are you going to do? Teach that baby to change its diaper? I mean, really, that is not education. And so we have increased educational funding for the last 12 years. Every year we've got an increase of money going in there. Have you seen any change in our results?
No.
No.
No, and in fact, in preparation for this, I gave you a bunch of data from Kids Count 2020 for the Annie Casey Foundation. And I also printed up the PED numbers. We are ranked last in education in the country. And that has to do with fourth grade reading levels, eighth grade math scores, and people that don't graduate on time in high school.
Right.
That's why we are last.
Right. And our point was, until we have accountability, until we start seeing that the money that is continuing to go into that is being used to good purpose and we're actually educating our kids, then we need to stop putting more money into it and find out what the problem is. We have suggested that they look at other states, model states that are doing so well in education. We don't have to recreate the wheel. We can go look at what is working and find out why it's working, because there are states that have lower educational budgets that have much higher rankings for their children.
You know, it's funny because I was reading the Public Education Department report on graduation rates, and there's a little chart here, and it shows that national rates up to about 85% in most school districts is where we're below 75%.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing is when you go look at the schools within the Albuquerque Public Schools as an example, there is marginal improvement, you know, 1% here, 1-2% there. They have a couple of charter schools, one called the College and Career Academy, that is currently graduating about 95 or better percent of all of their students.
Wow.
Well, that's within APS.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got private schools like the Albuquerque Academy. They're graduating 99.5. You've got Hope Christian School graduating 98.5. No one would have to commission a study to go find out what those schools are doing.
Right.
They would all gladly, even the private schools, meet with officials in the state of New Mexico and come up with a plan.
Right.
They really would.
So why can't we do that? Why can't we get that same educational level for all of our kids? Because every child in New Mexico deserves a good education.
Yes.
And we're not providing it. And we look at the stimulus money coming in. Here's an interesting point. New Mexico is getting the 17th highest payout from the federal stimulus. But if you look at population, we're 36th,
wow.
Right? So why is that? Why are we getting so much money? I think it has to do with our Medicaid and other poverty signals when we should be looking at something more positive. But that's how they're going to plug that hole. $1.6 billion coming to the state, $2.3 total.
Yeah. I think Steve Ryman's got a question for you, Steve.
Well, not a question. Actually, I wanted to speak to the CEC and what you mentioned, the Career Enrichment Center, along with concurrent enrollment in college. Remind me what you what was my kids went to it. I'm trying to remember the name of it.
The College and Career Academy.
Yeah. This isn't scientific, but I can tell you when my kids were there, a lot of the kids they knew that were there were kids that they knew from homeschool groups that they had been in. And I know a lot of homeschoolers, that will, bring their kids up to the high school level and then they pass them into a program like that. So to answer the question, what are they doing? Well, part of it, you know, I have to think, is that parents are involved in the education, and I do kind of wonder, the parents that are using public schools, hopefully they're involved in their kids' education. But if, you know, part of the problem in a simple fix seems to be parents, their responsibility in their kids' education. But a lot of, you'll see a lot of the same things with the charter schools. And then another question I have, and Carla, maybe you can speak to this. You may know why it is. Look at Rio Rancho. Look at what their public schools are doing. What is it that their public schools are doing that get them the marks that they get? And they're right next door. It's not really that different a metro area.
No, it's not. But I'll tell you, in talking to the elected officials in Rio Rancho, they have expectations for their schools and for their teachers. And they set the bar. And they say, this is what we expect. And so they see results. In Albuquerque, not so much. You know, we have a very outspoken union, a teachers union, that is saying what they will do and what they won't do. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. we're supposed to be, I mean, our elected officials that we elect are supposed to be telling you what they expect from you, and you're supposed to be finding a plan to get there, not dictating back to the public what you will do and what you won't do. Powerful union, yes, it is, but it's not helping our kids, and it needs to focus on what their primary job is, and that's to educate our kids and get them ready for work.
Yeah, I don't know where the axe falls and who's coaching us to number 50 out of 50 states, but we need to figure that out. We need to figure out very quickly. I'll ask you something related to business in that line. Carla, as businesses move to New Mexico, are they finding young people educated to the level that they need for good employees?
We don't have the workforce that we need, and we've got to prepare kids and give them an option, too, where college may not be in their future. You know, we've got to do better on the trades. We need people in trades, right? We need mechanics and electrical engineer. That would be a college degree, but the plumbers and the mechanics that work on our homes and buildings, we need that. And that may not require a college education, and that is not an option that is strong enough in our schools. So we need to find resolution for that as well.
Yeah, I remember when I was at El Dorado High School, I graduated longer ago than I like to think, 1976. But I remember Max Forrest, he was one of our shop teachers. We learned how to use a CNC machine. Well, that's all now controlled. We were using punch cars in those days. Now they're using computers.
Right.
But a lot of the guys that learned that, I mean, we learned sheet metal work. I made everything under the sun, including some vents and things for my parents' house. I mean, we really learned a very high level. And when you start talking about car mechanics, I don't know that we could do it now because all the cars today are so newfangled. We are working on cars with carburetors and things, but those cars were humming along.
Yeah.
You know, we really learned a lot as young people. I did a project in 2008, Carla, where for many, many years I broadcast Lobo basketball and state high school sports on KGSW-TV. Then it became CASA Fox. And when it became Fox affiliate, they had a really hard time with preempting their network programming for local sports. So a friend of mine, Mark Gardner, who was a producer over there, he helped me. We were the first group, and this would include APS, we were the first in the country to stream activities and sports online. We did it before CBS did it with March Madness.
Wow.
That technology was introduced to all the schools in the state of New Mexico in 2008. To school districts like Portales and Hobbs, they stream everything now. Their DECA events, their band concerts, their sporting events, you name it. But APS has never done that.
Right.
In fact, the whole thing that I designed to be a curriculum for students to learn how to broadcast, and here's what my point was going to be. I took 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, and I taught them how to do camera work, how to do production. We produced in 2008 all 72 games of the state high school basketball tournament online using young people.
Wow.
And it was an amazing, you know, it was really a pilot program, and we proved that it would work. What did they do with it? Nothing.
And you know, that's career options. That's why we've got to expose our students to all kinds of things and let them decide where are they going to college or are they going into a trade, but give them options because that's an incentive to graduate, mm-hmm. You know, get them out of high school. That's an important thing. And for your listeners, I would encourage them to get involved. You can sign up for our emails. We do calls to action all the time. What we need you to do is get engaged. We have 12 days left to change what's happening in Santa Fe. And your voice can be heard. Let me tell you, on the HJR 6 termination of emergency declarations, we have a call to action right now that you can get at our website, nmbizcoalition.org. We've had over 16,000 emails go to legislators, people saying they want this bill to pass. Be a part of the process. There are times when we need things to be stopped, and you can help with that as well. So go sign up for our emails and help us help you get involved.
Carla, if we had 50,000, you've already got 16. Maybe, you know, maybe my eyes are bigger than my stomach, so to speak. if we had another 34,000 people send emails listening to this shows, would that have a profound effect on the vote?
It would be huge. I talked to one of the bill sponsors today. We were communicating, and he said, yes, we've gotten some emails. Well, they need a whole lot more. Our emails are easy. It takes you less than a minute to have this. It's already pre-programmed to go to the decision makers. You can change the message if you want, but it's already populated for you. And we've got information about that, why it's important. So you'll understand why we're pushing this and why you want to be involved in it. And yes, if we could get a whole lot more up there, I think it would have a profound impact because they're really putting the brakes on that bill and they need to push it forward.
So this is NMBIZ Coalition. So NMBizCoalition.org. You can sign up for the free newsletter and alerts and what did you call them?
Calls to action.
Calls to action.
Yes.
That's right. Carla Sontag has a call to action for all of our listeners here on ABQ Connect. We're going to be back with more from Carla. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is Chip Lusko, General Manager of KNKT and Star 88. And we have an opening in my office for a media assistant. After more than 4 years, Heidi Houston is accompanying her new husband to Europe, where he serves in our armed forces. While I'm happy for Heidi and Connor, I am now in need of a full-time assistant who can work with me on various radio and TV projects locally and on multimedia national and international outreaches for Connection Communications. Media experience is helpful, but not mandatory. A grasp of social media is required, and you need to be flexible. At The Connection, we move fast, think big, and try to have fun as we fulfill our primary task of preaching and teaching the gospel. If this sounds attractive to you, apply at calvarynm.church/jobs. That's calvarynm.church/jobs.
Next, here's Rob West with a MoneyWise Minute.
Folks with damaged credit often ask if they should try one of those credit repair companies. We tell them, only if you feel like paying someone to do what you can do for free. Scammers will falsely claim they can fix your credit. So here's what to watch out for. Pressure to pay upfront fees. Never do it. They tell you to dispute all of the information on your credit report, whether it's accurate or not. A reputable credit counseling operation won't do that. They change the subject when you ask them to explain your rights. And here's the biggie. They promise to remove negative information from your credit report even if it's accurate. They can't. The only way to improve your credit score is to start paying your bills on time. Only you can do that.
Since the Bible is the Word of God, since it does reveal the character of God, since it alone describes salvation and eternal life, since all these things are true of God's Word, how important is it to know what every word of Scripture means? Hi friends, John MacArthur here. There's only one way to tap into the power of Scripture, and that's by immersing yourself in it regularly. Every day on Grace to You, we unpack the Bible verse by verse, precept upon precept. And there's no better way to spend 30 minutes of your day. So join us here on this station for Grace to You.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on KNKT. On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming on KNKT, and they sponsor our show, ABQ Connect. Call Holly or Dave at 342-8100 when you first start thinking about selling your home or buying a new one. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates, doing business by the book, 342-8100, or reach them on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. We're going to have a chance tomorrow to talk to Holly Slade. She's going to be in. She's also the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids. And with school ramping back up, a lot of young ones don't have food on the weekend. So we hope you'll tune in tomorrow. I'm with Carla Sontag. She is the president and founder of the New Mexico Business Coalition. Carla, are you making some headway? Are you happy with your progress?
I am. We've had some significant wins, and a lot of it has to do with our member involvement, people that get our calls to action and they're taking action. And I want to say we've had, first I just want to back up and I want to shout out to the teachers that are dedicated to our kids, not in any way criticizing what you're doing. I know you love our kids and that's why you're in the business you're in and we love you for it. And the same goes for homeschool teachers, the moms and dads that are teaching their kids. God bless you for doing that. It can be a challenge, but we know you're dedicated to those kiddos.
Hey, Carla, I got to make one point about what you just said because I so much agree with you. I think that our teachers are like these quarterbacks in the NFL that have no blocking.
Right.
They're running for their life.
Right.
If we just give them the resources they need, they will thrive. They'll kick it. They'll have everything they need. But we've got to put those tools around them. We have to do that.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about. And that's the reason why it's important for people to get involved. You know, we had a school choice bill and that one's kind of gone by the wayside. There's a lot of stuff going on. We killed a really bad bill with about 4,000 emails. So see, if your listeners get involved and get on this call to action bandwagon, what we can do is amazing. So please get involved.
Okay. So walk us through again the call to action. Right now there's a call to action.
Yes.
And tell us what that is and how, walk us through that whole process.
So if you've signed up for our emails, you will automatically get our calls to action. We will send them to you. If you're not, you can go to our website and look it up. Once you get to the call to action, it is already pre-programmed to go to the decision makers. You enter your information because the email is going to come from you. It's not coming from the business coalition. We are putting a pathway for you to very quickly communicate with decision makers. And it is important. So you put in your information, the email comes from you. It's already pre-programmed, but you can change it. There's information to tell you why that issue is important and what your involvement means. And then the actual email going to the decision makers, it's already there. Change it however you want. We have no control over that. We encourage you to change it. So they're getting different messages. Then you hit send and you're done.
You also need people to come alongside you financially. How do they do that?
That would be a blessing to our operation, I can tell you for sure. We are funded completely by voluntary dues and contributions. You can do that at our website or you can call us at 505-836-4223. On the website, you can pay online. You can make a one-time, you can sign up for a monthly or an annual contribution. If you're a business owner, you can become a business member.
And you're a nonprofit. And tell us some of the benefits to a business member. Like, let's say you're planning on opening up a business. That's the fascinating thing about this. When I met with Carol White with the New Mexico Restaurant Association, who's an associate of yours, you're both kind of fighting for the same cause. She was telling us that in the midst of so many restaurants closing down, there were people planning to open restaurants. And, you know, the entrepreneurship, that spirit still lives in New Mexico. And you could help people with those kind of plans.
We can. We've been involved in legislation at the state level, like putting together the portal for businesses so that they have a one-stop place to find all the different places where they've got to get involved with filling out paperwork and making applications. We are still involved in trying to make that easier for you, but yes, we can be a resource for you as you're trying to set up a business and get you connected with the government process that you need to go through to get that done. And we would be happy to help you. The other thing that we do for businesses, you know, our focus is making New Mexico a better place to do business. It's a simple concept, but a little bit complicated with what we're facing with our current elected officials, but we're getting there slowly but surely.
Well, I can't help but ask you about some of the bills coming out of Santa Fe, like HB 148, unemployment contribution rate. Some of these things are going to be kind of detrimental to businesses that are trying to recover from the pandemic.
And I'm glad you brought that up because that has been a huge victory for us. We got that bill tabled.
Hey, that's good news.
Yes, it was. And it was very much a bipartisan effort. It was tabled 16-3 in the House Appropriations. Big, big victory for business. And I'll tell you what's important. It would not have been done except for the Business Coalition taking the lead on this and getting it stopped. Sadly, I won't mention names, but there was another business organization that was actually supporting that legislation. And yeah, I just was kind of a sucker punch when I heard them testify in support, because that bill alone would have raised unemployment insurance rates about 250%.
Oh, that's scary. And then now we can't help but talk about the paid sick leave bill, HB 20.
Ugh. Yes, that is the worst of the worst. There have been several paid leave bills that have come up, and they're still mostly languishing because they are putting their firepower behind House Bill 20. That will be heard this afternoon. We did a call to action on that one as well. That one, oh boy. So if a business is shut down because of a pandemic, as we've seen, that business is required to continue paying employees for a period of time. Now they're shut down and they have no revenue coming in, but they've got to continue to pay their employees. That's what unemployment insurance is for, which, by the way, only business people pay. The employee pays nothing into that fund. That's what the employer is paying for. But now they want to put this on their back as well. In addition, that paid time off for 80 hours for 2 weeks is in addition to any other paid time off that you had available for your employee, which they expect you to still honor.
Okay, I know this is really oversimplified. Are there not as many Democrats as Republicans that own businesses, Carla?
Well, there's not. Again, we're nonpartisan, but I will tell you that there's more ownership by Republicans, but there are Democrats that own businesses, but they have some of them have a little bit different philosophy about business. And this very horrible bill that we're talking about is put in by a Democrat that owns a business.
And that's baffling to me, because isn't the math the same for everybody?
It is. It is. And I'm just like, I don't understand how you can own a business and think that this is good policy for any business owner.
Well, and the particulars that I understand is some of this might make sense. For example, I work at Calvary Church. Okay, and they own this radio station. We have 180 employees, which is a pretty big employer.
Yes.
So we have paid sick leave and all of those things built in. But I can't imagine being, let's say, a carpet cleaner, and you've got two employees, and you're keeping those people busy, 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 and then all of a sudden something happens, and you've got to pay somebody over 80 hours of sick leave and everything else on top of the unemployment insurance that you're already paying. I mean, the math doesn't add up. I don't know. You're basically going to be paying somebody for not being productive. And I understand the good feelings about, gee, we'd like to take care of everybody, but things happen.
They do. And if you are a business owner and you have no revenue, you have been shut down by mandate of the state, your employees are not working, you have no income, how is it they think that you can do that?
So people like Ken Hayes, I hope he doesn't mind me using his name, at Cliff's Amusement Park, he hires a lot of high school students,
mm-hmm.
part-time. As far as I read the bill, it's going to affect him with all of these part-timers as well.
Yes, because they accumulate 1 hour of sick leave for every 32 hours that they work. So this pandemic thing is in addition to all this other requirements. When Cliffs hires these kids, I mean, they may not come back the next year, but they've accumulated it. If they want to take the leave, they can take the leave. If they come back, it has to still be sitting there waiting for them.
Oh, this is just scary. And they can't make a few amendments to make the bill make more sense for larger businesses that can afford this? Because truly, when you go to work serving at the counter at McDonald's, or you go to work watching over the bumper cars at Cliff's Amusement Park, or any other entry-level job, I don't think you really expect them to be taken care of. They're not going to pay you a wage that's going to take care of your family. They're going to pay you an entry-level wage.
Yeah, and they're trying to do away with that this year. Mm. That is one of the bills that we're looking at, is to get away from that training wage. And it's unfortunate, because if you do that, if you get away from the training wage, why would an employer hire a student or somebody young like that that's never worked before? If you're going to pay that same wage, you're going to try to get somebody that's more experienced. So we're not helping younger kids, high school people, first job, we're not helping them. We're cutting them out of the picture because no employer is going to pay that higher price to get them in.
I am more perplexed as we're talking, Carla. Carla Sontag, she's the founder and the president of the New Mexico Business Coalition. When we come back, I'm going to ask Carla about her dream for New Mexico and how we can be the most competitive at the top of the good list in all the states in this country to attract more business. We'll be back right after these messages.
The aftermath of 2020 has left so many of us wrestling with questions about the future and wondering, what's next? Here's Skip Heitzig.
That's a question, by the way, that people ask anytime there is a catastrophe, any kind of catastrophic event causes people to ask the question, what's next? If there's a car accident that happens, well, what's next? I'm going to be able to walk after this? If a disease strikes someone, what's next? Am I going to be cured? If somebody we love dies, we ask, what's next? Am I going to be able to go on?
We want to help you live with confidence, no matter what the future holds, by sending you a powerful collection of Easter weekend messages from Skip Heitzig on the hope of the resurrection.
Anything's possible. If the one who said he's going to die and rise again died and rose again, that means all of the promises Jesus ever made are possible and can come true. That's why it's called The Living Hope.
The Morning That Changed Everything with Skip Heitzig is a DVD collection of six life-changing Easter messages. And it's our thanks for your gift of $35 or more today to help connect more people to the living hope of Jesus Christ. To give online securely, visit connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888.
Here's Mike Fabares, Bible teacher on Focal Point.
You know, when we're in a dark season of personal pain, it is easy to begin questioning God's goodness. Man, I know that. That may be a natural response to our discomfort, but it certainly isn't the right one. Instead, in Psalm 107, we read that those who are hurting should purposefully quote, here it is, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. God's goodness, the psalmist reminds us, can be seen in the ways he's delivered us from previous bouts with trouble and pain. And of course, the greatest example of his goodness is our eternal redemption from sin in Christ. You may be in a dark season, but remember that God is good. Whether your suffering is the result of some unfortunate circumstance or some poor decision of yours, know that God is gracious and he can deliver.
Right thinking leads to right living. Want more? Power up with Pastor Mike Fabares on Focal Point, a half hour of hard-hitting Bible teaching here on your station. Or check it out online at focalpointradio.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
First-time guest Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition joining me this afternoon. Carla, thanks for spending the whole hour with us.
It's my pleasure.
You have so much to keep track of in your life. I don't even understand how you keep track of all of this stuff.
Well, that's what keeps me laughing. You know, I think it's insanity has set in.
Yeah, just every day there's a new twist, a new nuance to all of this. I want you to tell me, right now we're losing businesses to people like Texas. What does New Mexico really need to do? If you had the perfect plan in place that everybody would accept, what would that be? What would New Mexico look like?
In a nutshell, we would stop increasing taxes and regulation because that drives them away. We would educate our kids so we had a good quality workforce. We would address the crime situation in this state because people are afraid to be here. And then we would make it easier for businesses to operate. In Texas, you can have a business up and running in 7 days and then get a call from the Secretary of State thanking you for being there.
Yeah. And that actually happened to one of your clients.
Yeah, and he said he had operations throughout the state, different facilities. He said, I'll never open another store in Albuquerque. He said, I'm going to Texas. And we could learn from that, and we could make it easier instead of spending months to get a business filed and operating. We just need to change the attitude. Change the attitude first, and then you'll start finding the regulations and the taxation that need to go away in order to promote that attitude of being pro-business.
One of the things that I've always liked to see is older people that are retiring come into our state. That's happening less and less because we're taxing their Social Security income.
We're one of only, I think, 9 states that are still taxing Social Security. And, you know, that money was taxed when you put it into the system. To tax it again, taking it out, is just not right. And there's some people that are very dependent on that. That's their sole income, and they can't afford it. And this is a great state for people to retire in. We need to stop taxing that. But the people in Santa Fe, they're looking at $350 million of tax increases this time. When we're trying to come out of a pandemic and people are hurting, this is not the time to be increasing taxes.
Carly, you've been in our state a long time. You're familiar with the DUI problem in our state. For many, many years, we had increasing driving while intoxicated, driving under the influence, whatever you want to call it. And over the past 3 or 4 years, that's actually started to decline. But the reason I mention that is that I did some research on states that have legalized marijuana, which, of course, is on the table right now in Santa Fe. Every single state that has legalized marijuana, recreational marijuana, that is, it is legal to have medical marijuana here.
Yeah.
But every state that's legalized recreational marijuana has had an increase in DUIs.
Mm-hmm.
Are we about to be back and increase our DUIs?
Yes, we are. And it's not only that. We did a research paper that you can look. It's very well documented with all kinds of links. It's posted on our website at nmbizcoalition.org. And it's the paper itself's a couple of pages, but the links are worth reading. When you look at the increase in hospitalizations are up 30%, emergency rooms 200%, the use by children, 12 and older. It doesn't matter what safeguards the state puts in. It's just like alcohol. They will find a way, and you're creating greater access. And children's brains are not fully developed until they're 25. We should not be exposing our kids to more of this. Public health, of course, is at risk when people are ingesting marijuana. Black market, this is interesting. The black market actually goes up when you legalize that, because cartels find it easier to undercut the taxation that's on the legal operations. So they come in, they set up under our noses, and drug use increases. We have seen this over and over in the states that have legalized it. We don't have to pass it to do that experiment. And I'll tell you the business problem, employees that use it, even if they're not using it on the job, are more likely, greatly more likely to have accidents on the job. So we're going to have more accidents by those that are using than those that are not, and they've done the studies on it.
You know, I've never thought about this until right now, and that is, okay, right now when you apply for most jobs, you have to do a drug test.
Mm-hmm.
But if marijuana is legal and they see marijuana in your system, they can't do anything about it if it's legal. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Man.
And so they can still, employers will be allowed to have a drug-free workplace where people can't get high on the job, but they're still more prone to accidents.
Carla, let's talk about something positive. There are people manufacturing in the state. Give us some examples of businesses that are manufacturing and employing people.
Oh, we've got everything from heavy-duty equipment manufacturers, boxes, parts for machinery. Supporting oil and gas is big. That there's a lot of manufacturing going on for that as well.
Is there still quite a bit of mining in the state?
There is. There is. And mining falls under manufacturing, and that's why that's important that we keep that business industry group working.
Yeah. Carla, what was your primary motivation in starting the New Mexico Business Coalition?
Because I truly believe New Mexico can do better, and I guess I'm the eternal optimist, believing that we can do it together if people will get involved and do the calls to action, be informed, call your legislators, let them know what you feel about this legislation, because it's not over until it's over. They haven't passed it. Help them stop legalization of marijuana recreationally.
Carla, thank you. We blew through the hour pretty quick. I appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me.
presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling. For service, call 504-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling. Locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.